Steve and Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Steve and Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk with members Aaron and Liz English, and we talk about their land success, Land Academy success stories, or maybe some of where they haven't had so much success. So just to start it off, and before we get into the real topic, let's talk about, or let us know, please, how you got here, how you got to this moment with Land Academy.
Well, I got into the land business about 10 years ago and did the whole Jack Bosch thing and said, go to the county, get a mailer or get the data. And I'm like, okay. And then you get the data and it's like, what is this? You know? So I was like, okay, I can't do this. And then, so I ended up buying a list from China, sent a mailer out and, you know, just got a bunch of hate back. So I bagged it for like 10 years. Wow. And then, just about 2 years ago, I found you guys. And when I was specifically looking for land investors and land investing, and I came across your podcast and pulled the trigger. And so here we are.
Awesome.
And so when was, like, how long ago did you join? And
2 years.
2 years ago?
Yeah.
And has it worked out? I mean, are you doing deals?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're doing lots of deals. I think we're about 150, 160,
wow.
Like that. Yeah.
Wow, what's a typical deal for you guys? That's great.
As far as money goes, or
yeah, like buy it for 5,000, 10 acres in, I don't know, some Western state, sell it for 22 on terms or cash, or what's a typical deal?
We did a lot of terms before and we don't want to do any more because it's a pain in the butt. Talked to a lot of interesting people that are time wasters. But now we're doing more bigger deals and selling them cash because we kind of graduated
all cash,
out of
for sure. Cool. We stopped doing notes about last month, just chasing too many people and too many people with sob stories. And we're like, we got to take this property back now. And right. You know, it's just a pain, but isn't yeah, it? just cash.
It's so like, yeah, it sounds good. It's, I mean, a lot of people are, if you have the, I don't want to say stomach for it or what the right word is, but if that's your thing, yeah, a lot of people you can have quickly get, you know, how many, you know, coming in a month, but you have to babysit them a little bit. As you know, there's always one that needs something and somebody's not available. And even though like with us, I'm like, I would say, what do you need? Do you want me to, they say, get paid on the 3rd because I'm can I make the payments come out on the 5th? Fine. And there's still always a little something. And I'm like, this is just, it's a lot of work. And then of course, then they go dark and you're like, darn it, you know? And it's like, you know, I don't want to take it back. I liked the payment thing and they go and they're gone. You're like, I kind of feel bad for you, but now I got to do it all over again. So
yeah,
I get it.
We've had some people that have been great all along, but it's just those few people that want to change it up their credit card every month or miss a payment or it's just like, just yeah. Not worth it for us.
That's my next question. Do you have a maybe one or two examples of where a term sale just worked great and you sold the property, they paid it off and deeded it to them?
Yeah, they aren't all paid off yet, but we have people that have been paying continuously. In fact, Aaron didn't want to follow the advice to just sell the first one cash. So the first deal we did, he sold terms and those people have been awesome all along. So yeah, so that's been great. It was a little extra work for me because I had to figure out how to do the contract stuff and all that kind of thing. But they've been great. It's just other people along the way that were like, why did we, I don't want to deal with this person anymore.
Yeah.
So.
I bought that one totally wrong. So I bought it off LandWatch. Didn't follow the program at all. This is the first property. I'm like, let's do this. I just had to get my feet wet, you know? And it worked out. So
we've all done that.
And that's okay. You may it work. So that's perfect. So awesome. Now I'm sure you're looking back going, I paid what for that? I could have got it for this.
Oh, yeah. I feel like an idiot, but that's how we learn.
Right. That's it. So I'm really super curious. If you can recall, what were some of the holes basically that got filled, you know, when you jumped back in 2 years and you found us, you know, 2 years ago, what were the things you're like, oh, that was missing? Was it how to finesse the data? Was it pricing?
Yeah, it was just showing Jack showing me like how to like actually manipulate the data. and like go through and say, oh, this is how you do it. And just like hold your hand and like click this button here, click this button here, click this button, and there you go. And it's like, oh, well, that's easy. So I was like, wow, that's all I needed, you know? And then after that, it's, you know, off to the races.
I love that.
You know, everybody says, people reach out to us all the time and they say, when we found you, and I look at it the other way, like, actually, I found you, because a lot of people.
That's true.
You know, there's Jack Bosch. There's nothing wrong with his program for some people.
Right.
You know, and for whatever reason, those people love to go to the county and deal with that data, and maybe they do and maybe they don't. But, you know, the data piece was missing for me too. And that's why I decided to get in front of a camera and show everybody how to do it.
Right.
Yeah, that was the key right there.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So which one of you is data and which one of you is sales, or do you just trip over each other's feet doing the same stuff every day?
I'm data.
And I'm more of the sales part.
Yeah, so. I'm like data marketing. We both kind of do sales. She does more sales and the shuffling of the deeds and the paperwork and dealing with most of the county stuff. So.
Ah.
All the stuff I hate to do.
He's not so good about talking on the phone to people.
Yeah.
I feel it, Liz. I understand. I'm right there with you. I get it. And I'm okay with it. We have the patience, right?
Right. I figure we all have our own skill set, and it's better for everybody if I do the talking on the phone.
Right. That's exactly how we do.
Jill says the same sentence. It's better for me.
Awful as it is, I can handle it better than you can. So we got this.
Yep. If I'm having a great day, I love talking on the phone. But you know, they're not always great days.
Now, are you guys in this full time?
Yeah, pretty much. So we have another business that we run, which is I'm kind of split right now because it's our busy season. So, but when we're not doing busy work with our other business, then this is like full time.
Yeah. And we have some help in our other business. So it is almost automated completely, but then people go on vacation during busy season or have family emergencies, and Aaron's got to put on the other hat and remember why we automate things.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually joining Land Academy helped me, well, push me to automate and outsource the other business. And so that made a big difference for us. And we're also trying to automate this business too, but it's taken a while.
Cool. Has some of the next level stuff in 2.0, even 1.0, we talked about a little bit. What you should be working on, what you shouldn't be working on, has that helped you guys?
Yeah, quite a bit actually.
Good.
So yeah, I'm like not wasting as much time, like researching a deal as much. I'm like, this is crap. Get it out of here, you know.
Yeah.
Focus on something else, you know. Try to market the same as sell it. You know, get the deals done.
Isn't it funny looking back at how you were? I can't even imagine like 10 years ago. You know, remember we've all tried to like find something in a deal which shouldn't be there, and now we're like, move on.
I still do it.
Move on.
Yeah, me too. I'm doing one right now. There's one in a county in Oregon. I'm like, is this a good deal or is this not a good deal? I'm just going back and forth and him and Han, but I think we're going to pull the trigger. But, you know, the experience really helps a lot.
That's really good.
Yeah, Jill and I were listening to somebody else's show a couple of days ago, and what she pulled out of it was there's no such thing as absentee ownership. You know, there's a point where maybe way down the road, especially if you start a company, if you buy one, that's a different story. You can put somebody in place and run it. But for what we do, there's no such thing as just a full-blown absentee ownership. You can get it to where you probably work 4 or 5, 8 hours a week, but you still have to approve the deals. And you still, you know, for our personality types, you can't just hands off and just see what happens.
When you say our personality types, you mean yours?
I think people must be like that.
I don't know. I just took a nice long trip.
Yeah, because you knew I was here.
Well, we have a good team. We have a good team now. They got this. So, yeah.
So, what's it like working with your spouse? That's really what everybody wants to know.
Totally.
Oh.
Well, we've worked together with the other business. And then, actually, before we were married, we both worked a long time ago for this catering company. And so, we already worked together as part of a team. So
we've been working together for 15 years, something close
to the beginning of us. 16 years. Yeah, so we work well together, but we do have to be careful that we don't get bossy with each other. I think that's the big thing, is like nobody tries to be the boss too much where it's not fun. So
is one of you the I have to ask, is one of you the CEO and one of you the COO?
I'm probably the CEO.
Okay. Ours goes back and forth.
Yeah.
Although it was you, and now it transferred to me because you're doing other things, which is
we have good. Other businesses too, so yeah. That really helps. You know, mm-hmm. I think that it would be really tough. Plus, we have Land Academy and we have land sales. Now we have house sales. So Jill does all the houses, all the except for getting the mailer in the mail. Jill runs the whole house thing. So that seems to be better.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Houses are really, really, once you just you jam it through the pipeline, it's there. Everything's with escrow, so there's not as much paper. Everything's on the MLS, so that really sells itself pretty quickly. And then you have a researched buyer list. So it's almost always sold almost before we buy it.
Right.
So it's a good addition to the land operation. Like, right. I would never want to just give up land ever.
No.
Like, that'd be crazy.
It's still the easiest thing on the planet.
Yeah.
I love it.
But it's a great addition. Especially if you have all your costs covered with one operation.
Yeah.
You know, then you can, everything you do with houses is just pure profit.
Exactly.
There's no real fixed costs. So that's how I look at it.
Yeah.
But we do have to separate everything. Yeah. But it seems to get worse, not better.
Very true.
Exactly. All right. So where are you guys, like, what are you guys working on right now? Are you investing in other people's deals? Have you partnered with other people? Or are you just, you know, getting, just adding a zero yourself?
A little bit of all of that, really. I've partnered with people in the past, Luke Smith, Luke Harris, both Lukes. Another guy in my other business, he actually joined Land Academy. We're going to partner on a few deals.
That's cool. And
we're, you know, doing a little bit of everything. We're adding a zero. So we're splitting up parcels for the first time in Arizona. So just trying all kinds of new stuff.
Big learning curve, trying to figure out how do we do this and who do we need to talk to and get it done.
That's great.
Man, there's nothing more profitable than splitting property.
Right.
You know, you take a property that you buy it for $4,000, $5,000, or $8,000, you know you can sell it for 16 to 20, but if you split it, you can sell it for 40. Mm-hmm. And it's just moving paper around. So I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that podcast. I was like, oh, you can split this and then triple and double and quadruple. It's like, oh, I gotta get on this.
Yeah, and once you figure it out in that county, you know, just go to town.
That's it.
And make some friends there. So
I mean, there's, like everything, a right way and a wrong way to do it. So I don't, you know, I'm a big advocate of getting the APNs first and not just splitting it like some other members just split it up, rewrite the description and just off you go. That concerns me a little bit, but.
Yeah, we ended up hiring a guy. He's writing in new APNs, legal description, putting easements in, doing like drone shots and photographing it and everything, like all for like $1,400. So.
Great.
Wow. Yeah.
That's really good.
Maybe I'll put that in the resources for you guys.
Yeah.
He's up in Oracle, Arizona.
That's cool.
Yeah, great.
That's something I love about our group. We're all, you know, there's no reason we can't all share what we find and help each other out. There's plenty of deals to go around, and it's great.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. It sounds like you're using Land Academy like the way that we intended it to be used, where you partnership with other members, and because that's how we use it, quite honestly.
Right.
We've got a deal, a very large deal that's come in, and we've got multiple people that contact us all the time. They have no intention of ever buying a piece of land. They just want to throw money at us. And so we're finally getting some pretty large deals in that I know are going to turn fast. Mm-hmm. Large enough for them. You know, they're not $25,000 people.
Right.
Nice.
They're $500,000 people, so.
Sweet. That's where we want to be.
So how many mailers are you guys sending out a month? What are you guys working on right now?
Well, right now I'm like pumping the brakes because I'm wearing too many hats. But I think I just sent out, I think it was around 4,000, 5,000.
Nice.
And then a couple months ago I did like, I think it was like 7 or 10,000. I don't really track it that well, but it was like, I think it was like 10,000 a couple months ago. And then like 7,000, which all the APNs were wrong on that 7,000 unit mailer.
Did it matter?
It didn't matter. I'm still doing deals, you know? I had just gotten out of surgery, and I'm like, ah, let's do a mailer today. And I didn't double check anything. And I was,
you're all drugged up. This is a good idea.
Surgery mailer. That's the name of another
surgery
show.
Surgery mailer. I'm going to call this show surgery mailer. Aaron English, how to do a post-surgery mailer.
How to screw up a mailer entirely.
And oh, still blast it. Yeah, I guess it's foot.
I've been trying to communicate this to forever. Like, it doesn't matter how many mistakes you make, you're still going to buy some dirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's not the first time I've screwed up an APN like that, too. You can mess it up and do deals, you know?
Well, you know what's so funny, too, is when the people open the mail, how many of them even, they don't even know what an APN is most of the time. Yeah. It's just kind of, it's there. They wouldn't know if it's right or wrong. They're not going to check it. You know, they see the legal or, you know, if it's got an address.
I think it goes like this. Yeah. Hey, remember that property we own in Colorado? Remember that? No. What are you talking about? Yeah, well, you own a property in Colorado. Do you want to sell it? Yeah. Yeah, I do want to sell it.
It's 5 acres. It's that big, dear? Yes, yeah. It's 5 acres. Just that's like what that. This says.
Yeah.
They must know because they sent us a letter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I had one.
Let's trust these guys.
That's so good.
So do you guys have kids?
Yeah, we have one kid. Oh. He's 9 and a half. He's fun.
Yeah. I actually did a deal with him when he was 8. Yeah. Bought a little Arkansas lot off of Luke's website. It was like $300, and then sold it on terms for like $10,000, and then that note defaulted. So we took it back, and then we sold it for like, I think, $700. So he was pretty stoked, you know. He's like, oh, Dad, I made, you know, $200-something, and, you know, he's like planting little seeds in his ear, you know.
Yeah.
I can honestly tell you, and we did all of that with all of our kids, and none of them care at all now.
No, he's totally indifferent. I'm like, he's not motivated at all.
No, I think if we paid him his screen time, he would be more interested.
Yeah. There we go.
I also think if we ever took these kids and they stood on the property and it was next to something, they would understand it.
Maybe.
They can't understand what's on a computer screen and on a spreadsheet, you know.
Right.
They need to see it and touch it.
Maybe take them out there and throw some gliders or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it came with an ATV and you were out there all afternoon, they would probably remember it. Awesome. That would be good. So you guys are up like way north Washington State, right?
We're just north of Portland, Oregon.
Oh, so, you're south Washington. Okay.
Yeah, we're at the bottom of Washington.
Okay. All right. How's your weather right now? Is it warming up?
It's sunny and nice. Sunny. It's beautiful.
We don't know what to do.
You know, every person I know in Washington says the same thing. And I'm like, they love when the sun's out and it's too warm, they're like, bleh. I want the cool and the crisp. That's why I live here, for the trees and the drizzle. I'm like, really? I'm like, yep.
I love it. I love the sunshine. But because our other business is a plant nursery, so it's kind of seasonal, we tend to be super busy and we haven't gotten to enjoy the spring as much. Ah. And then this year, we've got some help and it's made a big difference so that it's more enjoyable.
Cool.
Such an interesting position that we all put ourselves in, because we all start our own companies to have more time and to enjoy ourselves, and it's always the opposite. Yeah. It's always like, now I'm doing 12 to 14 hour days.
Yeah.
And then when you do enjoy yourself for a few minutes or a half hour or even for like a whole weekend, in the back of your head, it's like, well, I could have done another mailer.
That's exactly how it's like, I need to be working right now.
Exactly.
All this free time. This doesn't make sense.
Exactly.
All right. So you clearly have no issue or got past, however you did it, getting just tons of mail in. It's just tons of offers in the mail. This is a huge, huge bottleneck for a tremendous number of people, whether they're members or not. And a lot of them are watching this. So what's your suggestion about getting over that fear of getting offers in the mail?
Have somebody else answer the phone.
The first time
Aaron sent out a big mailer, I had to answer the phone, and I I am a sensitive person. I don't want all this hate. This is horrible. Like, this is this makes my life bad.
And I fire back, so I can't answer the phone.
So I just... Poor Liz. Is crying.
Yeah, I'm like, this is not what I signed up for. Like, I want a better quality of life. I don't want angry people that are mad at me. Like,
excuse me. I'm a nice person.
That's kind of how it goes.
I'm a sensitive person.
Look, I'll tell the idiot directly tonight. Sorry about that.
Yep, I agree with you. I do agree that he's got a problem.
Well, I think it's kind of funny because, like, if I got an offer in the mail and I didn't want it, I would just throw it away. I wouldn't, like, call somebody up and be like, how dare you?
Isn't that funny?
And I'm like, don't you have better things to do with your time? Like,
totally.
I don't understand it, but I'm just kind of like, all right, now that we have something else to answer it, it's better because then we can just respond to the people that are worth responding to instead of deal with the crazy angry people that just want to vent that they got mail they didn't want.
Yeah, there's no fear anymore. Just
are
swing
you using chat live now? Or are you still hanging? Okay, good.
Yeah. How's that been?
Pretty good. Yeah, there's been a couple issues, but you call them up and like, hey, this is for selling, you know, they like put it for buying and then the comments aren't there. So, but 99% of the time it's been great. Good.
I'm glad. That's so funny.
I've spent a couple decades trying to figure out what makes everybody so jacked about the, you know, the hate. What does it come from? You know, I have so many stories to tell about people that just go out of their way to FedEx us terrible stuff, you know? And I come to this conclusion. They really thought you alerted them with your offer somehow to the fact that this is not their retirement property. They're not going to make $1 million on this. They're walking around thinking, well, I bought this or inherited it. Right. And this is what I'm going to retire. I'm going to sell this thing for $3 million. It's 80 acres. Right. I'm going to sell it for $3 million.
Yeah.
And no, man, it's worth like $6,000 at best. You know, that would make me mad too.
I often wonder, I'm like, what do these people do with all the guys that do the repeat pizza flyers on the door? Do they like wait for them and like, you know, pop them from the bushes or something? Because they come at you like, you know, like, geez, it's just a thing in the mail. I paid for the postage. I don't, you know, I'm not at your house. Like, okay.
Has it caused you to change any of the content or the copy or the text in the mailer to soften it?
No, I don't think so.
Same old. We started with, so.
You just get used to it. Now it's like, I just kind of giggle, you know, like back in the day, I'm just like, all right, oh, I haven't heard that one before, babe. Woo, that was a good one. I swear too, though, you know this, Liz, that when you answer the phone and you're sweet, you know, there's probably a part of their, and they're like, pause, like, am I really going to do this? You know what I mean? Yeah. They're expecting some gruff guy to answer the phone, but you're like, hi, da da da. And they're like, that's got to be hard.
That's why I got Liz to kind of soften them up.
Just say, you sound really nice, but I'm really mad. It's funny. And then at the end of the day, how many of those? I always used to take it a challenge. Like, I'm going to try to turn this around. And a lot of them I did, you know, and some you probably do that too, or did that back then, Liz. I'm like, okay, you're calling me for a reason. You either don't want me to ever bug you. Done. I won't mail you. Don't worry about it. I wouldn't recircle your county anyway, or your area. I'm just going to blast and move on. But, and the other thing is, are you calling me because you do want to sell? You don't like the price? Let's talk about, you know, and I try to figure that out. And
now it's
how many times?
Work.
Yeah, we have other people doing it, but I know. But how many times you could turn it into something was astounding. It really was when you look at it. Like, it's not all bad. Just got to let them vent.
There's a long period of time where I just only did the deals where they were signed.
Yeah.
They were signed and returned back in the mail. I didn't, this is before you.
Uh-huh.
That's how lazy I got. Because it's effective.
Exactly.
And even then, I would shove them right straight to the escrow agent and have them call him back. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason we don't teach that anymore, because it's rarely, you know, your numbers, it destroys your acquisition yield.
Yeah.
But I could get away with it back then. So besides answering the phone, what else? You know, you may or may not know how unique you are, because people just can't, even people who send regular mailers out, stop themselves from times multiplying it by two.
Right.
So what else, what do you think it is?
Well, also money is not an issue anymore because you have Land Tank. We could partner with you guys personally or go over to Justin at Plum. So it's like money is like, don't worry about the money. It's just blast the mail out there and shotgun accounting, you know, just get it out and, you know, see what comes back and then let them deal with the hate. And if you don't have the money, just call. You got three partners right there. So
well said. You know, you nailed it. I think it's just see what happens. Mm-hmm. Something will happen. Good.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of people who really, and I used to be one of them, just has to be all mapped out. You have to know what's going to happen. And then you don't do it because you're just so, you have to give up control.
Yeah.
And be happy about it. And you should be happy that you don't know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Or that, you know, something's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah. In the beginning, I was like that. I was like, you know, doing APN schemes and subdivision and zip coding. And now I'm just kind of like, I always go back to just a shotgun approach and just like, whatever, see what happens. We'll hit some home runs. Maybe we won't get a lot of hate.
There you go.
Whatever, you know.
That's good advice. It really is. You don't have to get, you don't have to get that detailed if you don't want to, or maybe, you know, maybe you're uncomfortable, whatever. Just get a ballpark and just go for it. That's it.
Yeah. And there are lots of people who, even if they don't like the price, but they want to sell, they're happy to be like, no, but I'll take this much for it. And then we can still sometimes come to a good deal.
Lottery negotiation.
Exactly. Yep. I love that.
Do you ever have a full-blown failed mailer?
Probably. We're still getting a few trickled in, but, you know, it's mostly just like, we want, you know, $1 million for this square acre lot in Hawaii. I'm like, okay, that's a little much.
Actually, we still got one that was good so far.
We did get one.
One thing that we didn't account for was, like, we sent a mailer in Hawaii, and we didn't realize how much it was to go through title over there.
That's pretty expensive.
Because it's really expensive, even if the property's small. So then it was like, well, we have to add $2,000 to every property cost. Just, and then a lot of times it's like, it's not worth it for us to do the deal, even though there's people that want to sell and there's a decent property at a certain price. But if you add $2,000 to it, it's not really worth it.
Exactly. I get enough. It's nice when you get to that level. And you guys are there. It sounds like too, it's like some deals are just too small. Okay, yeah. You know, I can be working on this over here. You know, I might have been interested in those buy for 500, sell for 1500, you know, a few years ago. Now I'm like, no, I need to buy for 10, sell for 30 or more kind of thing. Because it takes the same amount of time.
No more 5-acre lots in the desert for us anymore.
Yep.
Unless they just happen to come in and we're like, okay, we'll do it for way, way less. But
exactly.
We're actively looking for those.
Yeah.
We're closing on a house. We're going to net about $45,000. And both of us are looking at each other going, you know what? This is a waste of time.
Yeah.
So, I say this not to brag by any stretch. I'm saying it just, you just keep pushing the bar higher and higher and higher per deal and trying to set up systems where you don't actually have to spend as much time, if any, on any transaction. Mm-hmm. So,
nice. Awesome.
Yeah.
It's a healthy, good entrepreneurial thing, I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Cool. Yeah, we're working on systems and automation, and that's kind of where we are from this level, like jumping like exponentially. Once we get those systems in place, then I think we're going to be full throttle.
Cool. Are you using VAs for some of the little stuff?
Yeah, we're doing, we're using Gillian and that crew over there.
Good.
For a lot of stuff. And I use them in my other business too, like data entry and things like that. So,
great.
Yeah.
So the nursery business is kind of land driven. Like, are they associated at all?
Not really. Well, you can plant trees in the land, I guess. But they also say that like free trees with every land purchase or something. That's actually, but no, they're totally separate. We actually, the nursery business funds the land business the most part.
Excellent.
Now it's mostly we can fund the land within the land business itself.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
So is a prop, are the pro, so the prop, there is pretty good profit margin in the nursery business. That's really what I'm asking.
Yeah. So we do about 300%, 400% on average markup.
Right.
And yeah.
That's really good.
It's just like a lot of tiny little deals, you know, $20 here, $30 there. So you got to move volume and it's just labor intensive, you know? you can scale it, but it's, you got to buy more land, hire more people. So your overhead goes up and a million things can go wrong. So it's not as good as a land business. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yep.
Got it.
Cool. You don't have land that dies in the off season or anything.
Yeah. Irrigation fails. Everything's, you lose your investment.
You know, a real estate investment business in general, you have so much control. You can turn it off, turn it on. You don't have to show up. Yeah. You know, there's just a lot of reasons. None of them are by accident, by the way, that I got into it. You mm-hmm. know, there can be zero employees if you want. And mm-hmm. there's just a lot of good things about it.
It's very true. Nice. So what's the big picture for you guys? So are you, you know, is it going to take over the other business? Are they going to be, you guys going to be, you know, just, you know, in 2 years from now, just approving a few deals and pass it on to your
9-year-old?
Yeah. Maybe a 9-year-old, awesome. But maybe like an manager and some, we need to put some other people in place to take some of the workload off of us.
I want to be an institution and just, you know, sign some papers and then just be like, thanks. And then just like e-sign it and have a house in Hawaii and fishing and catching lobster every day and, you know, just living the life. That's the ideal plan, but we'll see how it goes.
Is that the same for you, Liz?
I would also like that house in Hawaii. And I would like to just, I would like this business to be so successful that it pays all the bills easily, but frees us up with time so that I can teach more yoga and do more of the things that I really love. And so that's part of my plan. But I think moving to Hawaii and having a food forest and surfing every day sounds pretty good too. So we'll see.
Boy, that sounds good to me too. That's what I dream of.
I'm in.
You guys can come visit us.
We will have a live event at your house.
Awesome.
We will come to you.
It's still an imaginary house, but it'll be there in maybe 5 years for sure.
You're going to have the dirt here really soon. It sounds like you're shopping for it.
Yeah. We should do, somebody should do a mailer, a house mailer in Hawaii. And I bet someone will buy a $300,000 house for $30,000.
Yeah.
Wow. From the state or something.
That would be cool.
Awesome.
Here we go. Oh, great. Awesome. That's so cool. All right.
Well, you've done it again. You spent another 30 minutes or so listening to the Land Academy show. Join us next time for another interesting episode. And we answer your questions posted online on our online community at landinvestors.com. It's free.
That was my part.
Sorry.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. That's so good.
You guys, it was a pleasure talking to you.
So
yeah, it's our pleasure.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Do you have any questions for us?
No, I think.
Awesome.
You guys give us great education. So
yeah. Thanks for making it a teachable system, because I think that made all the difference. When Aaron found it and was really into it, he's like, will you get on board with me? And I was like, I don't know, let me see. And then I'm watching the videos. I'm like, yeah, I can learn this. I can do this. Okay. This is doable. We can do this.
That's all I talked about for like 6 months.
I'm so glad. It doesn't make it easier too, that you guys are both doing it on the same page. You understand each other, you know, it's so helpful. And everybody's supportive.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, are you guys going to come in October? I hope you do.
Possibly.
I don't know.
We got to check the schedule.
Cool.
But yeah, I think so.
That would be fun. Come on. Do you ever come down to LA, or are you guys all, you just Washington?
No, I came to the last event.
Thank you.
But yeah.
You have to come back. I
forgot. Yeah, bring you this time. Maybe you can join the festivities.
Okay, we'll ship the kiddo off to the grandparents.
Yeah.
Perfect.
We've been there.
Yep.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks. See you soon.
Bye.